Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Nana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari
प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की श्रीमद् भागवतम की ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this morning we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, text, Canto 2, Chapter 5, text 22 and 23. Kaladguna vyatikara Parinama swabhavatah Karmano janma mahata Purushadhisthitad abhud Kaladguna vyatikara Parinama swabhavatah Karmano janma mahata Purushadhisthitad abhut Please chant. Parinama swabhavatah Karma janma mahata Purusha ishtara Purusha ishtara Purusha ishtara Ragatmika, why don't you chant?
Parinama swabhavatah
Parinama swabhavatah
Karmano janma mahata
कर्मणा जन्म महत पुरुषाधिष्ठिताद्भूत कालाद्गुणाव्यतीकार परिणाम स्वभावतः कर्मणो जन्म महत पुरी कालाद्गुणाव्यतीकार परिणाम स्वभावतः कर्मणो जन्म महत पुरुषाधिष्ठिताद्भूत कालाद्गुणाव्यतीकार परिणाम स्वभावतः कर्मणो जन्म महत पुरुषाधिष्ठिताद्भूत Thank you. Word to word. Kalat, from eternal time. Guna, vyatikaraha, transformation of the modes by reaction. Parinamaha, transformation. Swabhavata, from the nature. Karmanaha, of activities. Janma, creation. Mahata, of the Mahat Tattva. Purusha adhishthitat, because of the Purusha incarnation of the Lord. Abhut, it took place. Translation and purport, Prashila Prabhupada. After the incarnation of the first Purusha, Karana Vashai Vishnu, the Mahatattva or the principles of material creation take place. And then time is manifested. And in course of time, the three qualities appear. Nature means the three qualities, qualitative appearances. They transform into activities. Purport. By the omnipotency of the Supreme Lord, the whole material creation evolves by the process of transformation and reactions one after another. And by the same omnipotency, they are wound up again one after another and conserved in the body of the Supreme. Kala, or time, is the synonym of nature and is the transformed manifestation of the principles of material creation. As such, Kala may be taken as the first cause of all creation, and by transformation of nature, different activities of the material world become visible. These activities may be taken up as the natural instinct of each and every living being, or even of the inert objects. And after the manifestation activities, there are varieties of products and byproducts of the same nature. Originally, these are due to the Supreme Lord. The Vedanta Sutras and the Bhagavatam thus begin with the Absolute Truth as the beginning of all creation, janmadiyasya yataha. We'll go through the second verse too, because that's the assignment. We can chant all the second this verse all together.
Mahatvastu vikarvanad raja satvopabhimhita tamha pradhanastvabhavad dravya jnana kriyatmakaha.
Material activities are caused by the Mahat Tattvas being agitated. At first, there is transformation of the modes of goodness and passion. And later, due to the mode of ignorance, matter, its knowledge, and different activities of material knowledge come into play. Purport. Material creations of every description are more or less due to the development of the mode of passion, rajas. The Mahat Tattva is the principle of material creation. And when it is agitated by the will of the Supreme, at first the modes of passion and goodness are prominent. And afterwards, the mode of passion, being generated in due course by material activities of different varieties, becomes prominent. And the living entities are thus involved more and more in ignorance. Brahma is the representation of the mode of passion, and Vishnu is the representation of mode of goodness. While the mode of ignorance is represented by Lord Shiva, the father of material activities. Material nature is called the mother and the initiator of materialistic life. And the initiator of the materialistic life is the father, Lord Shiva. All material creation by the living entities is therefore initiated by the mode of passion. With the advancement of the duration of life in a particular millennium, the different modes act by gradual development. In the age of Kali, when the mode of passion is most prominent, material activities of different varieties in the name of advancement of human civilization take place, and the living entities become more and more involved in forgetting their real identity, the spiritual nature. By slight cultivation of the mode of goodness, a glimpse of spiritual nature is perceived. But due to the prominence of mode of passion, the mode of goodness becomes adulterated. Therefore, one cannot transcend the limits of material modes, and therefore realization of the Lord, who is always transcendental to the modes of material nature, becomes very difficult for the living entities, even though prominently situated in the mode of goodness through cultivation of various methods. In other words, the gross matters are adhibhutam, their maintenance is adhidaivam, and the initiator of material activity is called adhyatmam. In the material world, these three principles act as prominent features, namely as raw material, its regular supplies, and its use in different varieties of material creations for sense enjoyment by the bewildered entities. Namo Om Shivaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutaleshana Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nene Vishesha Sunavari Paschapadesha Tayana. Vancha Kalpati Vidaschapi Pasini Bhivcha Patitanam Pavane Bhivashana. When I saw Maharaj standing here for the kirtan, I'm like, how am I going to give class? This is not right. So I asked Maharaj if you could kindly give class. And he said, no. I said, well, I can't give you class while you're here. And he said, well, I'll just move out. I said, Maharaj, no, that's not the point. He says, no, you give class. And I don't know where Maharaj disappeared, but although it is easier for me. This is the situation. When I read these two verses, it made me think of Kunti's prayers. In Kunti's prayers, she says, Katham pashema hi striyaha. How would we women understand this knowledge? Because it for what? Brahmahamsas, tatha brahmahamsanam, muninam. It's for paramahamsas and yogis and this subject matter is too complicated for a 32 ounce brain. And so, but the fact is that this subject matter comes over and over again in the Bhagavatam. In the second canto, again, we hear the subject matter. And in third canto, in great detail, we hear when Vidura asks Maitreya Muni about how to relieve the suffering of these people in this material world. And he gives a whole description about the sarga and visarga and everything. So, and then again in the 11th canto, this point is addressed. So, it is certainly an important subject matter, and we can't, at least I can say for myself, my tendency is like, okay, here it comes again, I have to go through it, just listen to it, and when will the juicy subject matter comes, you know, relationships and pastimes. But there's some reason here why this is mentioned again and again. And then Srila Prabhupada in the verse, in the purport, he mentions the very first verse, Janmadiyasya Yataha. So I thought, well, let me see what this verse is about, although we have heard it many times. But it was very interesting for me to understand, again, the importance of understanding this material creation. In any kind of book, if anybody writes any book, the very first verse, word, sentence, and the last sentence, or the last chapter, the first chapter, all these things, you put the very important things. So if you see in the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is Prabhupada is mentioning, Janmadi Asya Yataha. And what does that mean? Vyasadeva is first offering obeisances to Vasudeva, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and describes different features of the Supreme Lord, of the Absolute Truth, in this first verse. So let's look at this first verse. So the very first three words, Janma Adi Asya Yataha. Janma we know, Janmashmi is the birth or creation. So Janma and Adi, Adi means etc. So you have creation, and then you have, what are the other ones? Anybody can say?
And destruction.
So all these things, Janma, Adi, creation, maintenance, and destruction, that's where it comes from. Yataha, from who does it come from? From Vasudev. So from Vasudev comes creation, maintenance, destruction. That's the first point, the very first point the author is writing. So we're seeing that creation is such an important thing that the author is saying in the very start of the book, that this creation, maintenance, and destruction comes from Vasudev. And then the second, and this first verse, as I read it, studied for my class, it actually covers both these verses, 22 and 23. So that's the first characteristics he talks about is of the Supreme Lord. Second characteristic is Anvayad Itaras Charteshra Bhigya. Bhigya means he's a knower. So he's knower of what? He's knower of Arteshya, of everything there is, of every artha, every possession, every thing, every intention. He knows directly or indirectly, he knows all that. So again, it's describing about the creation, how the Supreme Personality Godhead knows everything. And then he's Swarat, he's independent. He's independent, he's not dependent on anything. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. So he imparts Tene Brahma, he imparts the Vedic knowledge onto the Adikava, Adikavi, which is Lord Brahma. Again, we're talking about the creation. We understand the creation comes from, Lord Brahma does the second creation, Visarga. But here he's describing that creation that is being taken, is actually given to Brahma by Vasudev. He is the one who imparted that knowledge. Not that Brahma knows it. And we already studied a few verses before that Narada Muni is asking about, where do you certainly you're not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where did you get this knowledge? Who is the Supreme Person? So here in the very first verse, we are told that Brahma is not the Supreme, the Absolute Truth, Vasudeva is. And then, Muyanti Yasurayaha Tejo Vari Mudam Yatha. And then another fifth characteristic describes that Vasudeva is, he is the one who puts the demigods into illusion. Just like, let me see the translation, just like, only because of, by him even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representation of water seen in fire or land seen on water. So again, the demigods are put into illusion because of Vasudev. Vinimayo yatra trisargo misha. So this modes of material nature that verse 23 is talking about, is because of these modes of material nature that everything looks, feels factual in this material world. It's these energies of the Supreme Lord, the modes of material nature, it makes us think I, me, and mine. That we think that, oh, this is my child, this is my parents, this is my house, this is all due to Krishna's energy of modes of material nature, passion, goodness, and ignorance that Prabhupada is talking in the purport there. And then, in the very end, the very last sentence, It says, Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kohakam Satyam Param Dhimahi. He says, I'm meditating on what? He's saying, all these six characteristics he has mentioned, he said, but the Supreme Lord is beyond all that. Is beyond that. So in the, and describes of the spiritual world, that's what the last verse Pada is talking about, is the spiritual world. So the first six is all about the material universe, and then the sixth one is talking about, seventh verse, is, seventh part is talking about the spiritual world and how he is beyond all these six characteristics that is mentioned. So we can see that the author is saying the very in the very first verse he's describing that, and so to run away from such topics doesn't seem like it's an intelligent thing to do, because if we want to achieve the goal, which is ashraya, the first nine topics that is described in the ninth cantos, we can't dismiss them, or we can't dismiss certain parts of them if we don't like it. It's something that we might have to get into it. And you can kind of see that even when Sukadeva Goswami, I mean, we have covered three, four chapters, and Sukadeva Goswami appears in the second canto, and when he starts responding to Maharaj Parikshit's questions, the one verse he talks about the holy name. And I will tell you what he says. He says, O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the greatest of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all. So that's the first thing he says. But then everything afterwards, that's interesting, everything afterwards he talks about is methods of either process of meditation on Virat Rupa or Paramatma, or even in the chapter of process of pure devotional service, change of heart, even in that chapter he describes so much about, if you want this, you can get that. You should worship that. If you want such and you want such and such material thing, then you worship so and so. Not much is described, if any, about the methods, at least that we think, or at least I think, that I guess should be there. So the question is again, why do we have to hear this subject matter again and again? I was listening to Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. I've been listening to his classes, Structural View of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he sheds some light on this subject. And interestingly, he says that the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where we hear quite a lot of talk about creation. He says that second canto is describes about sadhana. I thought that was very interesting. He says there's a lot of description of sadhana. Again, we see the Virat Rupa, the sadhana described if you're going to meditate, how to meditate on the Virat Rupa, how to meditate on the Paramatma, how to meditate. Then he describes the creation process. And again, the process of creation is described later on in the second canto. So he said, just like sadhana, sadhana is something, what do we do, sadhana? We do every day, yeah? Sadhana means we do something repeatedly. Every day we do it. That's what sadhana means. Just makes me think about something that just came to my mind about one devotee, Mahatma Devidasi, who used to live here. She was taking care of some non-devotee elderly person. And while she was taking care, you know, Mahatma Dasi would be chanting her rounds. And this elderly lady had Alzheimer's, I think. So she would say, didn't you just say that? Like she was chanting her mantra. So didn't you just say that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Didn't you just say that? So, but But this is our sadhana. We chant. We chant all the time. We chant over and over again to get to our goal. So Maharaj was saying that to hear about creation again and again, that's part of our sadhana. That's our sadhana. And Srila Prabhupada, in the second chapter, in the seventh chapter of second canto, he actually confirms that. And I'd like to read a part of the purport, what Srila Prabhupada writes. First of all, the translation. The Lord's activities in association with his different energies. Okay, so it's his different energies should be described, appreciated, and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly, so Prabhupada is saying, if this is done regularly, the process, again, the point being made here, sadhana, if this is done regularly with devotion and respect, not with an attitude that, oh my God, again, no, with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. Now, listen to this purport. That was like a smack on my face, I felt. And Srila Prabhupada writes, the science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from the sentiments of fanatics. In other words, yeah. Fanatics, so listen carefully again. Fanatics or fools may consider the Lord's activities in relation with the external energy to be useless for them. And they may falsely claim to be higher participants in the internal energy of the Lord. The skipping part, just reading part of it. He says, those who are not completely free from the clutches of the Lord's external energy should devoutly hear regularly about the activities of the Lord in relation with the external energy. Now, many times we hear Prabhupada saying that, you know, we should not go to the 10th canto unless we have gone through all the 9th cantos. And at least in my mind, for some reason, when Prabhupada is saying we should not go to the 10th canto unless we hear the 9 cantos properly, I always think, I don't know why, I think, oh, he's talking about Rasa Leela. And so we should not hear about the Rasa Leela or, you know, discuss those topics. But listen to what Srila Prabhupada says here. He says, some of them think, and that includes me, some of them think that to hear about the pastimes of the Lord means to hear about his activities with the gopis or about his pastimes like lifting Govardhan Hill. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, Prabhupada is saying even in the 10th canto, we have so many pastimes, for he's just not talking about Rasa Leela. He's taking even hearing pastimes about Govardhan Hill. And so some of these people think they have nothing to do with Lord's plenary expansions as the Purusha avatars and their pastimes of creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the material worlds. So, we have to hear, we have to perform our sadhana of hearing the pastimes of the Lord of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. And then he describes that the pure devotee, how he says, there is no difference between the pastimes of the Lord, either in Rasa Leela or in creation, maintenance, or destruction of the material world. So this is how a pure devotee thinks. Rather, the descriptions of such activities of the Lord as Purusha avatars are specifically meant for persons who are in the clutches of the external energy. So yes, Srila Prabhupada is telling us this is what we have to do. this is an important part to hear about the creation, maintenance, and destruction for those who are in the clutches of material energy. Prabhupada further says, by reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, and I really feel like hearing Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj's classes on structural view of the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj himself is a scientist, his background is a PhD. And so you can see that when he is presenting the Srimad Bhagavatam is in a very, very scientific way. He brings out very amazing points. And also Prabhupada has encouraged us to do so. We see that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada describes specifically that just like the scientists come together and discuss their findings, and they feel very happy discussing their findings of their research work, that devotees are meant to do so. So by reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, the conditioned souls will gradually be promoted to the higher status of transcendental knowledge after being freed from the illusory energy based on sense enjoyment. So hearing about, it's another point that Maharaj mentions, that Krishna is adhoksaja, so we can't really perceive the Supreme Lord, but we can perceive his energies. We can perceive his energies, and therefore, we as conditioned souls, as those who are still in the clutches of Maya, still thinking I, me, and mine, for us, we can perceive the energies of the Lord, and therefore it's important that we understand the energies of the Lord. The Bhagavatam, I mean, people are interested, we know people are interested in understanding the material energy. Everybody is interested in the nature and psychology, everybody's thinking about how everything works. Everybody in the material world, everybody is interested in the energy of the Lord. So what is the difference between us devotees trying to understand the energies of the Lord and the materialistic people and trying to understand? The understanding that Srimad Bhagavatam gives is the energy. Bhagavatam presents that the energies are connected to the Supreme Lord. They're not independent. The material nature is not independent. Again, a thought came to my mind. Yesterday we were at we had a ladies' retreat, and Govinda Mohini, and I could be quoting her wrong, but she was mentioning that Tesla person, whoever that is, the one who, I guess his name is his name Tesla? Yeah, okay. Okay, so, and maybe you would know, that's right, Govinda Mohini was mentioned, so maybe you would know. She was saying that that he said that he figured out his creation seeing how the material nature works. That's how he creates what he creates, by looking at the material nature, how the electricity works, how this works, I mean, how the lightning comes, or whatever. He studies the material nature. Studying the material nature, then he creates what he creates. It's kind of like we have sarga, visarga, and then visarga, and you know, whatever. So creating, again creating. So that is how the materialist things, material nature is separate from Krishna. They don't accept, or they don't care whether even they accept God, and that's how they create. So the Bhagavatam saying that no, the energies that are, all the energies that we see, that we can touch, that everything, that time is an energy, and the modes of material nature are energy, all these are in connection with the Supreme Lord. And when we hear about how the material world is created, over and over and over again, when we hear that, then that helps us to get out of this material entanglement. When we hear how Maya creates everything, that helps us to get out of Maya. And that is the reason why material energy, we need to hear about the creation. Otherwise, if we don't see the connection of the material energy with Krishna, then what is our tendency? Our tendency is to exploit. Is to exploit the material energy. Just like I thought about Ravana. What was his thing? He wanted to exploit the energy without the Supreme Lord. He wanted to enjoy Sita without Ravana, without Ram. And this is our situation. And even as devotees, sometimes if we don't connect the energy that is around us, connecting to this with the Supreme, then there's so much even wastage in some sense, you know. I mean, I was talking to one devotee and I was saying, you know, why buy all these plastic bottles, you know? Why not take glass bottles and just, you know, get... I can supply you water from my well because it's good water. Nobody need to buy these bottles, plastic bottles. But we're not, because we're not seeing, we don't see that the energy that Krishna has given is, this is Krishna's energy. If we don't see the owner, if we don't see an owner of something, then we think that we can exploit it, yeah? If things are in our house, we want to keep it good and we don't want to waste things. But if someone else's, who cares? Who cares about it? I mean, that is our consciousness. But if we see, as devotees, we see that everything, the energy belongs to Krishna, Krishna is the owner, then we'll be very, very thoughtful. I know Mother Vishakha is very, Rasamrita is sitting here, so I was thinking, Mother Vishakha, she is so careful about not wasting anything. I remember, this was many, many years ago, I think it was in Philadelphia, we had prasadam, we were sitting down taking prasadam, and some dal spilled from the cup. The tendency is like, get some paper towels, you know, do it, and no, she took by the hand, she took all the dal and put it back in the cup, you know, and in the end wiped it with a cloth. Because why? It's Krishna's energy. Why would Prabhupada say, oh, this, nobody's seeing the tap is dripping? He's thinking because it's Krishna's energy. I know people in India are more conscious of that. They're getting less and less conscious, but now the consciousness is, oh, I don't want money to go out of my pocket, so I better save things, you know? But that's pretty good, too. We don't want to waste something because money is going out of our pocket. But no, anywhere we see some energy is being wasted, we can be thoughtful of that. And therefore, the idea is that when we see... because we are, and that was Maharaj was making, the, back to the point that what Maharaj was making, is that we cannot perceive the Supreme Lord, but we can perceive His energies. And so therefore we need to connect the energies with the Supreme Lord, and in that way our illusions of thinking that this is all factual, this material world is factual, that will go away. And that is the idea about hearing about the material energies. And the fact is, just a point that I noticed, as I said, that in case we're thinking, in case, just in case, we're thinking that, well, no, really, the holy name is fine, which is true, which is very true. The holy name is sufficient. We chant the holy name is sufficient. But Prabhupada has given us, no, we hear the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada is saying here, we need to do it regularly to free ourselves. But just in case we are thinking about the holy name, and as I said, Sukadev Goswami does mention, the very first thing he mentions is he presents to Maharaj Parikshit is about the holy name, that we should chant the holy name. But in the fourth chapter, it wasn't Sukadev Goswami, it's Sutta Goswami. Oh, I don't know if Sutta Goswami is with Sarnaka Rishi. So I think it's Sutta Goswami, he says that certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, this is with concentration, amen, does not change. When ecstasy takes place, tears fills the eyes and the hair stand on end. So how many of us, while chanting the holy name, that happens? So it does mean that we are gripped by the illusory energy of Krishna's energy of Maya. And we do. We need to hear about the creation. So after saying that, let me just tell you something about the creation, not just say that we should hear about the creation. So how does this creation take place? So let's hear about it a little bit more, at least for my own purification. So the first Purusha lying down on the causal ocean is who? Karna Dakashai Vishnu. That's causal ocean. Apparently there is an ocean of causes. Isn't that amazing? I don't know what that looks like, but it's an ocean of causes. This chapter is the cause of all causes. So Krishna, Vishnu, lies on an ocean of causes. Okay. So that's, he first lies, because I guess first there's cause and then there's effect. So he lies down on the ocean of causes. And then from him, he glances, yeah? He glances towards Mahatattva. Am I correct? Am I right? Yeah, okay. So he glances there. And then what happens? All these universes come out from his pores. So just to think about, and then the living entities are injected by Shambhu, whose expansion, I understand, of Mahavishnu. No, of Balaram, sorry. And he injects the living entities. So that's interesting. The thought came to my mind. It's just like, you know, like what happens here in this material world is just a reflection of the spiritual world, yeah? So just like a man looks at a woman and then impregnation happens. More than that happens, I mean, more than requires more there. But basically, it's a reflection of what happens in the spiritual world. And so, yes, Mahavishnu glances, and then there is the living entities are injected, so to speak, and then from the universes that come out from Mahavishnu, then Garbhodakashai Vishnu enters each universe, and each universe is covered with water halfway. I know what kind of water it is. Garbhodaka, anyway, and then from there, the Lord, from his navel, the lotus stem comes, and then Lord Brahma comes, and then he does a second creation, Visarga, and from him come, in each living entity, Shirodakashaya Vishnu enters as the Paramatma in each living entity. So by hearing this, again and again, apparently, our attachment to this material world will go down, and we will appreciate Krishna's internal energy eventually. We'll be able to appreciate and understand the 10th canto. And again, it's not by our own doing. I think ultimately when I hear this subject matters, for me it is mercy. We just pray to Krishna, dear Lord Krishna, I don't understand these things, subject matters. Let me just pray to you, and you will reveal all these things to me as my heart gets purified. Otherwise, I don't know how else we would understand these subject matters. That is the process. Our process is to beg mercy from Krishna. So these are little thoughts on this subject matter of creation, maintenance and destruction. If anybody has any thoughts on this. Yes, Prabhu. That's my job.
Hare Krishna, thank you very, very much. You began with Kunti's prayer, and although you couched it as women, I personally identify in the same category, that these topics, and you ended also with a prayer, that how to understand. And I guess it's a question or a reflection. Personally, when I try to understand what you, the creation, scientifically, because I have some, my father was a noted scientist, and so he kind of gave me some of that direction. I get lost completely. I can't make heads or tails out of it. But if I hear it, like you say, if we hear this subject, we hear it, then I find that in the same way that when we hear the pastimes of Krishna in his spiritual or in Bhoma Lila, then an appreciation or a of the greatness of Krishna, the amazing quality that is so far beyond my puny scientific sort of ability, not being a Muna, you know, the Munayo, whatever what Kunti talks about. But then Prabhupada again seems to stress that we should try to understand this, not just hear about it. So that's, I guess, my question. I do enjoy hearing about these topics, but I don't enjoy trying to understand it because I fail again and again and again. So, what do I do?
Thank you, Pancharatna Prabhu, for that nice comment, reflection, and confirmation of what I was feeling and what I was expressing, that yet that it is hard to understand, and yet we do have to understand, and yet, yes, we have to approach not in a fanatic way, but scientific way. So yes, I guess that's why I found somehow the Krishna directed to Maharaj's classes and helped me to understand a little bit, like, why, at least why we should do that. For me, it was the hard part, was even to know why we should do it. And so it was an inspiration for me to understand, okay, I'm an illusion, so I need to do that. And how to do it scientifically, I'm just hoping with the mercy of all the Vaishnavas, we will understand what it means. Yes, please go ahead.
Same question, because the why, do we have to go through this? Is it? I mean, there are other Munis, so on. There's one that maybe Pran Govinda knows, Aurobindo, Sri Aurobindo. You've heard of it. So Sri Aurobindo followed a path of exploration of the material world through meditation, to the point where he describes how he went into, you know, the modes of, down into the fundamentals of nature and discovery and then of light, whatever. I didn't go that far. But to find ourselves, to find who we are, to find truly our nature, do we have to peel away this material energy layer by layer, by understanding it and knowing, okay, this is the mode of passion, okay, this is the mode of ignorance, okay, this is the, it, that all of that, what we're hearing about, do we need to understand it in order to get through it? Or, as you also point out, we just chant Hare Krishna. Often when I talk about these topics and with my friends and godbrothers and so on, And I say, well, I don't understand at all. And then I conclude, but thankfully I don't need to. That's what I end up, but is that true?
Yes and no, that's hard to say. Yes and no. And I don't know. Let me add the third one, I don't know.
Adibol,
you'd
mentioned that there is the Mahatattva that Karna Dakshay glances over, mm-hmm. and then after that all the universes come out of the pores of his body?
Something like that, yeah.
What happens with the Mahatattva? It just gets agitated? And
it gets agitated, and I don't know if it's, that's when...
It's brought down fast.
And then it becomes Prakriti.
Yeah,
so the very first thing is that he looks at Pradhan. Pradhan, and then he becomes Prakriti.
Then he becomes Mahatattva.
Okay, then he becomes. So Mahatattva comes later on.
Comes later on.
I guess so, yeah. As I said, I don't have much understanding of things.
So text 22, mm-hmm. you could look at that.
Yes, sir.
It kind of addresses what Karnapur brought up. And then I have my question. I don't know if it's a question with an answer. I'll read the verse. After the incarnation of the first Purusha, Kara Narana Vashai Vishnu, the Mahatattva, or the principles of material creation, take place. And then time is manifested. So we have this happening, there's a sequence going on which indicates time. Mm-hmm. So this happens, and then time is manifest. So I'm kind of wondering what this kala is. The kala is usually time, but there is some sequence going on. First, after the incarnation of the first Purusha, the Mahatattva, or the principles of material creation take place. And then time is manifested.
And if you see in the purport, Prabhupada writes kala, and that kind of like what struck to me is like Prabhupada says, kala or time is a synonym of nature. So I thought that's also interesting.
Yeah, so we look at it, we have questions, and then we talk it out, and then it's like, okay, sort of glimpse it, but it just vanishes. As soon as we think we understand something, like, oh, I got it now. Nope.
Yeah.
But we keep chasing it.
Yeah. But Lord Brahma, he, you know, we understand that he read the very first time he meditated, and then what did he do? Like the scientists do, he went down the lotus stem to explore, to see where his origin is, where, you know, so this whole idea of wanting to understand the nature, the energy here, the creation, is a natural thing. But ultimately, how did Lord Brahma get the knowledge? And that's all of us here are thinking, how do we understand this knowledge? And then we understand that how he meditated, and it's only through his deep meditation that Lord Krishna revealed to him everything about creation. So I think the aspect of us understanding, and we're talking about the holy name, so it seems like we do both, and it is through our meditation on the holy name, deep meditation. Our austerities is actually to concentrate and deeply meditate while chanting and whilst hearing the Bhagavatam, is to concentrate, and then Krishna will reveal to us. We won't be able to understand ourselves, but Krishna will reveal to us. Yes, Pan Govinda Prabhu.
If we look at the purpose of creation, then it makes sense that why we should be paying attention to the details of creation, modes and material nature, instead of jumping artificially like fans of material world and will be in the spiritual world. It don't happen. Because the purpose of creation is rectification, reformation of our attitude and character. This is boldly Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur repeats in his commentary. So, if you look at Bhagavad Gita 1860, Krishna told to Arjuna, Svava jena kunte nivadya sena karmana kartum nechasi janmahat karishyasi avasa apitat. Everybody is born with a assumed nature, psychophysical nature, Prabhupada put in the purport. It's called psychophysical nature, that they are forced to act, compelled to act. So, more we are aware of the mode, more we are aware of the purpose of the creation, then we can discipline ourselves, restrain, detach. It's not like automatically happening. We have a conscious choice. And then we make that choice. Then, when the anartha nibriti is done, then automatically we will be attracted to Krishna. Otherwise, artificially trying to be under internal potency and avoiding the what life I'm going through is not going to happen. It may take many lives.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much for everybody's input. Any other questions or comments? Reflections? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai!